All the children can go down to children's church now. Miss Joanne is ready to take all of our children to the children's ministry time. And for all the adults in here, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. We're now into chapter 6 today. We started there last week and we didn't get very far. We only got through one verse last week, and we're going to hopefully get through 6 verses this morning. So let's read the text together first. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Apostle Paul writes this, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks that he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him." One of the responsibilities that we have as Christians is to help people out. Our church does that in a lot of different ways. And one of those ways is we provide assistance to people who are going through hard times in life. We have, as part of our budget, a portion of finances that we set aside to help people who are in need. Sometimes it maybe is paying an electric bill or paying a heat bill for somebody who's lost their job or who is having trouble in their life. Now, helping others doesn't mean that we give people exactly what they ask for. In fact, as we learn from today's text, often helping people means talking to them about difficult things in life. And so as part of our help for people, we just don't give people money. If they come to us with a need, we sit down and talk to them about their need and evaluate the need. We do budgeting with them to try and encourage them to be responsible stewards of what God has given them. And we see in a lot of cases that all they need is to reprioritize their spending. They don't need so much for us to pay a bill. They just need us to come alongside of them and show them the right way. So our text today is about helping people out. In fact, in the Bible, there's over 50 times where we're called to help one another. Over 20 times we're called to love one another. We're commanded to pray for one another, encourage one another, serve one another, teach one another, submit to one another, honor one another, live at peace with one another, and to confess our sins to one another. So this is a pervasive concept all throughout the New Testament, that we are to help one another out. And so, again, this morning's message and the text that we're looking at is extremely practical. How do we help each other out in a way that is helpful and not hurtful? So last week we looked at verse 1 of the text, which is calling us to confront those who are in sin. Again, verse 1 says, if anyone is caught in any trespass, that's a sin, you who are spiritual, those who are Christians, those who are committed in the faith, not perfect, not sinless, but those who are spiritually mature, come alongside of those who are struggling and restore them in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, being careful so that you too won't be tempted. So last week we talked about the idea of we help others out by confronting them in sin. And we looked at the concept that is so pervasive in our culture today of interventions. Maybe you know somebody who needs an intervention in their life where their life patterns, their habits, the things that they're doing are destructive to themselves. They're hurting themselves or maybe their spouse or their children or grandchildren. And as Christians, we have to come alongside other believers who are in sin and help them. The concept in the text is to restore. It's that idea of taking a broken bone that's out of place and setting it, that place that the doctor has in the hospital, putting the bone back in right place and putting a splint on it so that it heals. And so we as Christians are to come along other Christians, and one of the best ways we can do that is by confronting things in their lives that are destructive to them and lead them back on the right path. The goal of restoration is not to make us spiritually superior than somebody who is in a sin and make them feel that we're better or bigger or greater than them. And we talked last week about specifically how we confront that sin. We do it gently and humbly and privately, one-on-one. We don't make a public spectacle of someone who is having problems. We do it kindly and sympathetically, maybe even sharing stories of how we've been in sin and how we've been restored a right relationship with God when somebody else came alongside of us and taught us. We confront sin lovingly and truthfully and carefully. So if you weren't here last week and this is something that there's somebody in your life that you know, I encourage you to get one of the CDs or listen to it on our website about talking through how we talk to others about the sin in their lives and leading them back to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. The way we help people isn't just talking to them about their sin. Verse 2 of the text says, "Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." So we help other people out by shouldering their responsibilities. The word "bear" in the text comes from the Greek word, which means to carry or to take up, to sustain or support. Now, it's important to know here, this word doesn't mean just take on 100% on yourself. If you see somebody that needs help, we don't just totally take care of their issue. We want to come alongside of them and help. Think about a picture of like two oxen pulling a plow. They have a yoke that puts them together, and by pulling together or leading the plow in the right direction in the same way at the same time, the load or the plow is able to be shared from the two different oxen, the yoke that supports them. And so for us as Christians, we're coming alongside, helping to shoulder that, pull the load, carry it along, but not totally taking over a responsibility. And the whole idea here in verse 2, the idea of a burden is a crushing weight. We'll look at verse 5 a little bit later, which talks about all of us have responsibilities that only we can take care of. This is something that's an overwhelming weight, something that a person gets so weighed down with in life that they can't handle it on their own. It's literally physically impossible to handle by themselves. So we come alongside of that person, put our arm around them and say, we can do this together. And we help them accomplish whatever in their life, whatever the roadblock is, we're either going up it or through it or around it or over it or moving it aside so that we can help that. But we're doing it together with them. And Paul says here, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. Jesus taught us what the law of Christ means in John's gospel in the 13th chapter. He says this, "A new commandment I give to you that you love one another, even as I have loved you." Jesus taught that the greatest commandment is to love God, and the second greatest commandment is to love one another. And so when we come alongside of people and we help them shoulder their responsibilities, we're showing them that God cares through our support and love for them. Our compassion, our care, our tenderness, our work for them is to show them that God cares for them and we are his agent, that he is working through us to help them. So we come alongside of people by shouldering their responsibilities, knowing that Christ for us set the standard. You know, Jesus just didn't give us this command and not give us an example to follow. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself," notice that word there, "bore our sins." Notice in verse 2, it's the verb "bear," each other's burdens. So the whole concept here is Jesus first bore our sins, our debt that we owe to him, he bore. He forgave us by his sacrifice on the cross. He bore the weight of our sin. And so Christ set the standard for us of how we're to care for others. He sacrificed himself. He gave all of himself. He shed his blood. He gave his body, thereby bearing our sins on himself. So Christ set the standard how we shoulder responsibilities for one another. Third way we help each other out is by praying for the person. Praying for the person. James chapter 5 says, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another." We can come alongside that person, and what they may need is something we can't give them. Only God alone can deal and help them. Maybe they're going through anxiety or depression. Maybe they're overwhelmed with a sense of what lies at the next thing. Maybe they're facing a job crisis situation. Maybe there's a family relationships that's broken, and we can't fix it. We can't literally shoulder that responsibility, but God can. And so we can come along that side of that person and pray for them and say, "Look, I can't fix you, but I'm fix your situation, but I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to be right here with you to help you through it. Another way that we can help shoulder responsibilities is by working together on the situation. Working together on the situation. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one has received a special gift, therefore employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so we can come alongside that person and help them complete a task or a responsibility, which is just overwhelming to them. And by working together on it, we can help it get completed together by working together on the situation. And third way that we help shoulder one another's responsibilities, maybe you can temporarily, notice the key word there, temporarily relieve the responsibilities of the person. Maybe there's somebody you know that's just overwhelmed with caregiving. Maybe a child with special needs or a parent who's at the end of life and having some real challenges and struggles, and the family member that's caring for them is just overwhelmed. And so maybe once a week for 2 or 3 hours, you can come and care for that child or that parent so the family member can just have a sense of relief. Paul said in Romans 15, we who are strong ought to bear with the weaknesses of those without strength. And that's how we can do that, by just temporarily relieving a situation. We maybe can't fix the health needs of the person, but we can come along and provide relief so the person can get some relaxation and some time away from the stressful event. So that's how we can help people shoulder their responsibilities. Notice what verse 3 says in Galatians 6. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. And what Paul is getting at here is how we can help others is by serving them humbly. The most humble man in all of Scripture, the Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 12, is the man Moses. Now, think about this for a moment. Moses met God in the burning bush, on the mountain, the pillar of fire came down and from Israel. The cloud was there. He was up on the mountain for 40 days alone with God. If anybody had a right to boast or brag, it was Moses. I've met the Lord. He's come and talked to me. He's appointed me to lead millions of people out of slavery. I'm God's man. But not Moses. Moses served the Lord, and he served the nation in humility, realizing that he wasn't able to do those things in and of and through his own strength. In fact, if you know the story in Exodus chapter 3, he didn't want the assignment. God calls him and he says, no, Lord, I'm not up to the task. Go find some other dude that's better qualified than me. So even in his call, Moses showed his humility. And so verse 3 calls us that when we're helping other people out, it's not a time for us to boast and say, look how good I am. I helped 32 people this year. That's between you and the Lord. The idea is we call to serve and serve them humbly together. Because the truth is, at different times in our life, all of us need help. There's not one of us here that doesn't need somebody to come alongside of us in different stages in life. I've just put up a brainstorm for an hour or so one hour this week and just thought of some things that all of us need help in. We need help in parenting or grandparenting. Some of us need help in our marriage. We need help at home with cleaning things up or doing chores that one person can't do. We need job help. We maybe suffer losses in our lives, financial losses, and we need people to help us through them. Maybe there's a time of sickness where we physically can't care for the things that we need to do, and while we're ill, somebody else can come alongside and help. Maybe it's loneliness where we're by ourselves and we're just overwhelmed with this sense of being alone. Or maybe it's a grief where we've lost a parent or a sibling or a child, and the grief is overwhelming, and we just need brothers and sisters to come around and love on us and care for us and support us and help carry us through that time of grief. And all of us need help at times when we just need to be led and pointed to in a godly and right direction. So keeping it in mind here that we serve each other in humility, realizing that all of us are going to be at different stages in our life where we need help. Chuck Swindoll says this, in the Christian life, there's no room for just leave me alone or I'm fine by myself. We all need someone to counsel us, to embrace us, to comfort us. And taking the super spiritual, I'm going to let it all go, I'm going to let God take care of it, that approach doesn't let us off the hook. We We still need to lean on others for sure. And yes, the Spirit of God is the one who comforts and counsels us, but he most often does his empowering, Spirit-filled people. He uses his Spirit-filled people to bear our burdens. And so we can be an agent of the Holy Spirit that God works through to bring relief to people's life as we serve them in humility. Fourth way that we help each other out is we do it without bragging. In humility, without bragging. Notice what verse 4 says, each one must examine his own work, and then he'll have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to one another. So we don't boast about it. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he who boasts is to boast in the Lord and the Lord alone, for it's not he who commends himself that's approved, but he whom the Lord commends. And so in humility, without bragging, we go and serve each other carefully because we're commanded, because we're called to, and because we love our fellow brothers and sisters. Not to pat ourselves in the back, but to serve in humility before others. Verse 5 says this, for each one will bear his own load. Now, look in your Bibles carefully. Look back at verse 2. Verse 2 says this, bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And then verse 5, for each one will bear his own load. Now, Paul's not being ridiculous here. He's not double-minded. He's not speaking with a double tongue. The idea of burdens in verse 2 is an overwhelming, crushing weight. The concept behind each one bearing his own load here in verse 5 is all of us have responsibilities that no one can take care of. So we can help each other out by first taking care of the things that we can take care of ourselves. There's things that only I can do in my family. Nobody else can love Heidi as Christ loves the church. Nobody. No, nobody else can do that. It's my responsibility. Nobody can take care of that for me. So there's things that nobody else can do in my place or in your place. You have to shoulder your own responsibilities, bear your own load. Warren Wiersbe says it this way, which I really like. He says, we should help each other bear the heavy burdens of life, but there are personal responsibilities that each one has to bear for himself. And he gives an illustration. If my car breaks down, my neighbor can help drive my children to school. That's great. That's the kind of shouldering one another's responsibilities that we're talking about. But my neighbor can't assume the responsibilities that only belong to me as their father. My neighbor can't be my children's dad. That's the difference. It's wrong for me to expect somebody else to do or to be the father in my family. That's the burden, and it's a privilege that I alone can bear. And so Paul here in verse 5 is calling us to individually care for the things that only we can do in our lives and take care of them to the glory of God. And then verse 6 says, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. And so we can encourage one another. The word share here, some of you be familiar with the Greek word koineo. It means to partake together, sharing what is in common, to have fellowship together, to be in joint participation together. So one of the ways that we can help each other out is by encouraging each other, by just simply words of affirmation that lifts each other up. And some of you are real good at this. This is your natural spiritual gift. You're good at that. Just God has gifted you with that you can come alongside of people and make them feel better, make them feel like they can handle their situation and responsibilities with God's help and you being alongside of them and encouraging them. But not just those with the gift of encouragement are called to lift each other up. All of us, if we're Christians, we have the word of Christ that dwells richly in us. And so we're to take that word and use it for others around us. You know, maybe you're doing your devotions in the morning, you come across a scripture, and the Lord brings somebody to your mind that needs some encouragement. Well, guess what? Just get out your little phone. Send. What an encouragement. Took you, what, 2 minutes to type a little text, click send? can encourage one another with the word of Christ. That's what verse 6 is talking about. We take the word and we share it. The faith that we have in common, the word of God, which is our authority over our lives, it feeds our mind, feeds our souls, and we don't want to keep it to ourselves. We want to take that word and share it. And by taking that word and showing people, maybe it's Philippians 1:3, I thank God every time I remember you. And so you just think about that verse and you think of somebody you know and you just text that verse to them. Hey, sister, this word came to my mind today and I'm praying for you today. I'm thankful that you're in my life. What's it going to be like when they get that text? Wow, I was prayed for today. I feel lifted up. One of my favorite verses that I like to share with people who are going through tough time is Psalm 16:8. I've continually set the Lord before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So as I'm in my prayer time, if I think of somebody that I know really has a challenging doctor's appointment that day or is going through a difficult thing, I'll pray for that person and I'll just text them that verse. I'm praying for you today. Here's a verse for you to hang on to as you walk through that hard time today. So we can encourage one another. So today's text, helping each other out. Look back again at these six verses. We can help each other out by confronting sin in their lives, by taking responsibilities that we can share, knowing that some responsibilities can't be shared, but many can be. There's things that we can do for others. We can serve others humbly and without bragging, without boasting about our responsibilities, and also taking care of the things that only we can do. And we come alongside and help people and encourage them through and with God's word. And so the challenge for today is, who do you know that's going through some tough stuff right now? Who can you help out? Who can you look at in their life and say, maybe it's a coworker, and you just put your hand on them tomorrow at work and say, hey, I'm praying for you. I prayed for you yesterday at church when you came to mind. Or just leave a little note on their desk with a piece of chocolate or something that lets them know you're with them. Or maybe there's somebody you know that's really struggling in life, just needs a visit and a listening ear, and you can go and be that friend who just listens. Or maybe they need their lawn mowed, or the list is endless of ways that we can help one another. We can bear each other's burdens. And so as we enter into our prayer time here, I'm just going to take a quiet moment now. And I ask you to just seek the Lord and say, Lord, I know lots of people. So do you. Just bring one person to my mind right now that could use some help. And Lord, show me how I might help them. Lord, speak to my heart now as I seek you about that. So let's pray just now. God, the Apostle Paul has challenged us today to bear one another's burdens, to come alongside those who are hit a rough patch in life, and maybe there's a wall in front of them that seems insurmountable. And by themselves, they can't get over or around or through that wall. But by your power and with your strength working through us, we can help them tackle that responsibility together. And so, Lord, we just want to humble ourselves before you right now. God, we want to ask that you speak to our minds and our hearts about somebody we know, maybe somebody dealing with cancer, and they just need a meal. And we can do that. Maybe it's one of our neighbors who's laid up and can't mow his lawn. We have a lawnmower and we can take care of that. Maybe it's a family member who hasn't seen a relative for a long time and they're hurting over the separation and they long to be reconciled. Or maybe we can go and sit in their home and pray for them. That relationship would be brought back into right path and right way. God, I know just for me personally, there's great joy. There's great joy in helping others out. We feel like we've been your hands. Your voice, your encouragement. So So God, help this challenge not to just last here for 2 minutes as we pray, but give us the resolve in our heart to put these words into action after we leave here today. To this week, find someone or some family that we can bear their burdens for them and show them how much you deeply love and care for them, thereby fulfilling your law. God, thank you for the standard in Christ that he set. He bore our sins, our burdens. He took on himself. It was a load we couldn't handle. So he shouldered it for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you've done that for us. God, help us in the way that Christ has borne our burdens then, to bear the burdens of others around us. Thank you, Jesus, for that great love that you showed to us. Lord, we've been challenged today to pray for one another. And so Brother Jerry comes now to pray with and pray for us, for those who have very specific needs in their lives.
For intercessory prayer this morning, we're going to lift up those who are struggling with bad relationships and bad influences. That no matter what happens in those influences and those relationships, that they see Christ face, that God's will would be done in their lives. We have a prayer request this morning to lift up Peggy Schweitzer, as she has another shot coming for her left hip. We ask that the shot would take, that the doctor would find that right spot, that this pain medication would go in and last for longer than it has to help her relieve that pain. This morning we lift up Eva Beck. We just pray for her health. We pray for strength for her to raise her up to help her in her situation. We pray this morning for the Wolfgang family, for their grief and the passing of their father and husband, Frank. We just ask that you would touch that family, Lord, with peace. And this morning, Father, we especially lift up our mothers. We ask your blessing upon the mothers who have been mothers for a long time. We ask you to help us to appreciate them, to get the wisdom from them, Lord. We lift up our mothers who are currently raising children, Lord. We ask that you would help us to support and come alongside them, that their children would be raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And we lift up the future mothers, Lord. Those who are praying for that blessing, we just come alongside them in prayer, Lord, that you would bless them, that your will would be done in their life, that their motherhood would be one that would be blessed, and those children would come to know Christ. Father God, we ask all these things in the name of your Son, who died for our sins. Amen.
Amen. We're going to close our worship just now as New Hope sings with us our last song. If you're in need of personal prayer this morning, Brother Jerry and I will be over here to pray for you. It would be our honor and privilege to pray for that. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, we'd love to lead you into that relationship this morning. So Jerry and I would be glad to talk to you about that and lead you into that today as we close out our worship. So let's all stand together and